highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. It is essential that we go to the offending brother first, not griping or gossiping to others, especially under the guise of sharing a prayer request or seeking counsel. Instead, speak to the party directly. It would be wrong for anyone to take Jesus' word here as a command to confront your brother with every sin they commit against you. The Bible says we should bear with one another and be long-suffering towards each other. Yet clearly, there are some things that we cannot suffer long with and must address. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's lesson.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel. I have on the screen that we're going to get through the end of the chapter, but I really think probably just down through verse 20, hopefully we can even get that far. And so if we could take a look at that. Matthew 18, and let's just pray first. Lord, we come before you and we thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, how you speak to us. And Lord, I'm just mindful of even what Checker had said, Lord. Man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And Lord, we understand that very, very well ourselves. And Lord, you have a plan and a purpose. And Lord, we just invite you to change us, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds, to make us your ambassadors, Lord, to make us willing, Lord, to see with your eyes, Lord, the world that is lost, the world that is darkened. Lord, that we would have your heart, even in these dark times that we are living in, Lord, to have a heart to reach out to those people. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're going to feed us right now, Lord. And this is not an easy message, but it's one that we need to hear. So Lord, have your way and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 15 through 20 probably this morning, but let's just go ahead and read those verses. Remember, Jesus had just spoken about the offenses that would come against children and the warning against anybody offending a child, and that if you were to offend a child, it would be better for you that a millstone, and this is a several hundred pound stone, it would be better for you to have that tied around your neck and you cast into the Marianas Trench. It would be better for that to happen to you than for you to harm, offend, or sin against a child. And that is an incredible thing. I mean, God takes sin very seriously, and especially when it comes to children, because they're innocent. They don't know any better. In fact, they're just looking to authorities, parents, others around them to help guide them along the way. They don't know anything, and they literally are a blank slate. They're a blank tablet that that information that they see, the interactions with people, they learn how to love, they learn how to trust through the people around them, the authorities in their life. And when that authority betrays that young one and abuses them or harms them in any way, God says, you better watch out. Because if you come to Christ, he can forgive you for those sins. But if you die in your sin when you've offended one of these little ones, let me tell you, the wrath of God is very real. And his love is incredible. However, his wrath is complete. And it is eternal. And so we looked at that. And notice now in verse 15, Jesus says, moreover, if your brother, and obviously when he uses the word brother, he is assuming some kind of relationship with Christ. Not just a brother, a physical brother, but a brother in Christ, a believer. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. I am there in the midst. You know, when you think about troubles in the church, it's a very difficult thing because normally when people come to church, they want to have the sense of release, the sense of, okay, there's a safe place I can go and I'm not going to be offended, and I'm certainly not there to offend anybody else. But because we're people, and because we still, even though we have the very nature of God, even if you are born again, you still have this old nature that is at the bottom that the Holy Spirit, I believe, is suppressing and keeping it from expressing itself in any of its ways. So we still have this duality within us. Paul even said that. He goes, why is it the things that I do are the things that I shouldn't do, and the things that I should do are the things that I don't do? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And of course, we know the answer. He tells us right in the next verse, but I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. It's him who can deliver him from the body of death. But we have this capacity to offend, even as believers. And there's nothing worse than being offended or sinned against by somebody who is a believer in Christ. And yet it happens every single day. I do it, not intentionally. And how do we deal with that? How does the church, in the world, you know, they have their own mechanism of doing things, but God calls us to do what he just told us. And what did he tell us to do? If somebody offends you, you go to them, and you go to them alone, privately. And this is nice because it keeps things private, and you're covering a multitude of sin, aren't you? You're not allowing anybody to hear about what the problem is, and because gossip is what it is, it's very real in the church and in the world. And we as believers have to be especially careful with our mouth, with our tongue, because from it, you know, it can still be a horrible thing that divides people and hurts people. Words are important. The words that we choose, the demeanor in which we express those words are very important, aren't they? Because I can say all the right words, and I can say it in such a way where I betray my speech. My body language could be saying something different, and yet I'm speaking words. And isn't it a mystery? Isn't it a wonderful mystery, actually, to think that even in our technology, we have so many ways to communicate through texting, through email, through phone calls, through, you know, you name it. We can communicate with one another, FaceTime, through Telegram, through all these different apps and all this communication. And yet, in our culture today, it's one of the things that is so lacking is just basic communication. Just talk to me face to face. It's worked for thousands of years. You know, it's only in the 21st century we've had all these gizmos and gadgets and ways of communicating. You know what? There's no better way to communicate than just face-to-face, heart-to-heart, alone, one-on-one. So Jesus is saying, this is how you resolve those differences. This is how you deal with somebody who has sinned or against you or has hurt you. And so let's look at verse 15. He says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, and this word sins is a word hamartano, and it's literally, you've heard the Greek word hamartia, which is missing the mark. This is where this word comes from. So it's sort of like a archery contest where the bowman brings back the arrow and he's shooting for the bullseye. And when he shoots, if that arrow glances off and doesn't hit its mark, it's hamartia. He's missed the mark. He's supposed to hit the bullseye. That's the desire, but he's missed it completely. And see, that's what sin is. We have missed the mark. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We're no longer obeying God, but rather we are sinning against God. We are missing the mark. And we sin against God first, and we sin against people. God first. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, I think it was, or Psalm 32, he says, Lord, in this I have sinned against you alone. Now, David knew that he sinned against Bathsheba, and he certainly sinned against Uriah because he murdered him. But he sinned against God first, and then man. And so we have to be extremely careful, but it says here, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained him. You have gained him. Notice that the Lord in this verse wants to notice who he wants to initiate the reconciliation. Is it the person who did the wrong? Or is it the person who has been wronged or sinned against? It's the person who has been wronged or sinned against. It almost seems a little backwards, doesn't it? If somebody hurts me, it would be nice for them to, at some point, come and say, you know what, I'm really sorry I said or I did this thing that offended you. I sinned against you. Forgive me. I know what I did was wrong. But that would be nice, and we should do that. But sometimes somebody can sin against you, and you are aware of it, and they might not be aware of it. But it's killing you inside. It's like a cancer festering. So why does God do this? Because the person who did the wrong may never even seek to reconcile, and they might not even be aware that they hurt you. Ed, if we could turn this down just a smidgen, that'd be great. So the person who did this against you might not even be aware that you're upset with them. Has it ever happened to you where you've gone to somebody and you're mad at them for some reason, and they're like, what is with you? And you're like, do you remember 8 months ago when we were at McDonald's and you said this thing and you did this thing to me and I hate you. And they're like, whoa, back up. What did I say? I don't even remember what I said. And that happens. People, you guys are sensitive. Not me, of course. And I'm joking, of course. But people are sensitive, and they might not even be aware that they hurt you, but it will eat a hole in your heart if you don't get it out. If you don't get it right, it will fester like a cancer in your bones, and it will continue to gnaw at you and remove years of your life and affect your health. Do you know that? Sometimes that happens. And King David understood this very well. What does it tell us in Psalm 32? During the time of his sin with Bathsheba and killing of her husband, David said this after God had forgiven him. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Notice this. This is what I'm talking about, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, my very life source, was turned into the drought of summer. I was just shriveling up like a raisin because I knew what I did is wrong, and I didn't fess up to it. And do you hear what David was saying? He says, it was eating me like a cancer. It was eating me from the inside out. And there's so many people in the world, and even in the church, even in this room, there's relationships, family and friends, best friends, that maybe you're not friends with them anymore because of something that was said, something that they did to you that they don't even know anything about. Maybe they do know about it. Maybe it was purposeful. But it's up to you, believer, to get it right. Even if they are a believer, you go and get it right. You go and get it right. Life is too short to hold grudges and to remain angry at someone. Can everybody copy that? Life is too short. It is. Perhaps someone said a careless word or did a careless deed to you. You know, their word or deed may have been intentional or may not have been intentional, actually, or may not even be directed at you personally, but something they said, something they did hurt you. Maybe you were in a vulnerable state. Maybe you were just having a bad day. Maybe the offender said something in innocence, but it reminded you of your own sin or something from the past. Maybe something they said triggered you. Anybody have any triggers here this morning? Someone, some person, something that is said. All of a sudden you become like Gollum. You know, you just turn in an instant. There's a trigger, something that's triggered you, something that's happening in the past. You can call it whatever you want, post-traumatic syndrome, whatever it is. There's something that triggers you, and maybe they said something that triggered you, and you're upset with them because of it. Maybe they said something outright to you. You know, you're just a fool. Really? Thank you, friend. Maybe they said something deliberate. Maybe they didn't say anything purposeful at all. You were triggered by something, but you still holding on to it, still simmering over it. Or maybe they said something and it was just a veiled message, and it was intentional. We're complicated people, aren't we? And our means of communication are complicated as well. But how will you know unless you ask them about it? Do you have the courage to ask, or will you risk not asking and letting it tear your heart out for several years, only to find out that it had nothing to do with you at all? Isn't that a travesty, really? To have something happen, and in your pride, in your whatever it is, your reluctance to address the elephant in the room, in the relationship, instead of addressing the elephant in the room, you say nothing, and you're harboring this bitterness for years. And then later you find out that it was a misunderstanding. You're like, all those years. Think of it, folks. All those years I walked around with a sourpuss face. I've walked around with a broken heart, angry. And every time I got a message from them, and they sound all nice and everything, but you know they were sticking you in the back. And they're like, wait a minute, I had no idea. Every one of us in this room knows what I'm talking about. And it's very real. And Jesus says, you have to get it right. You, the believer, you do it. But whatever you do, just communicate from the heart. Don't text them. Call them if you can. But I personally like when there's issues in people's life or I have an issue with somebody, I like to talk to them face to face. Because if my heart is really right, do you know that your body language actually says quite more than your words? And you can't do that through a text message. You can't do that even through a phone call. The inflections in the voice help a lot. But when you're physically present, you got the nonverbal communication and the words all happening. And if you're genuine, they're going to get it loud and clear. And that is the difference. And that is the best way to communicate, one-on-one, straight heart-to-heart. In Romans, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It's Romans 12:18. Sometimes you can't reason with somebody. Maybe somebody hurt you and it's just not possible. Well, make the effort anyway. And if it's a disaster, then it's a disaster. But if you can make the effort, God is going to bless you for making the effort. You can't control the outcome. No, none of us can control the outcome. I can't even control what I'm doing most of the time. But make the effort, because who knows? That person may be going, you know what? How did I frustrate you or upset you? Or what did I do? And you can explain it to them. Have a heart-to-heart. and say, you know what, you probably didn't mean it, but this is what you said. This is what you did, and it hurt me so deeply. And they're like, I had no idea. I honestly had no idea. Oh my goodness. And this was 3 years ago? Folks, life is short. Life is short. Isn't the relationship valuable enough to understand the intention and the word or the words that were spoken? And isn't it true, and this is true of me, and I'll just share with you, sometimes I can be clumsy and careless in what I say. I need to slow down sometimes. Sometimes I need to qualify statements. And being up here is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world, because sometimes I don't get the opportunity for lack of time because I'm looking at that clock, and it's my enemy. Sometimes I say something and I don't get to qualify a statement. I don't get to add a little bit more when it would probably be better, because it's going to hurt somebody. It happens all the time. Not just with me, with everybody else too. But sometimes we can be clumsy in our words, and we don't have time, or for whatever reason we don't qualify a statement. And we need to think about different words. We need to be deliberate in our choice of words. Words can either build up or they can tear down. Isn't that true? And much hurt and destruction of relationships has been done through this little piece of flesh behind my teeth. I've heard that it's said that your teeth are a gate for the tongue. It keeps this ugly little thing behind my teeth from expressing itself. I just got to close my teeth and not let it speak. Not let it out. James tells us something really wonderful. He said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, notice, he is a perfect or a mature man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they're so large, are driven by fierce winds and are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Isn't it true? Boy, with my words, I can tear somebody. I can bring somebody up and just, oh, he's so wonderful. And he loves me. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves, you know. And then I can say something else and I'm dead to them. They don't want to ever see or speak to me again. And words are like that. Isn't that scary? Think about it. Words and our tongue are the most incredible thing that we can either be used for good or for evil. And even in the church, we got to be really careful about our words. God help me. Seriously, me of all people, because public speaking is what I do. Help me to say what I mean and to mean what I say and to qualify statements that need to be qualified. And don't let it go because somebody else is going to have a problem. Now, I can't do it all the time and I make lots of mistakes. You've been the beneficiaries of a lot of my mistakes. But it's true, words are so important. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Notice that. And sets on fire the course of hell, and is set on fire by hell. Wow. The tongue sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? No. It's an evil thing. He goes, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? No. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. He goes, these things ought not to be so. If we have the Spirit of God in us, if we are born again, what comes out of us should be pure.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.